Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Would you remain standing for the entirety of my sermon this morning, please? If it's short, was the answer that I received. Well, following Jesus has relative consequences. Following Jesus has relative consequences, and that's been true since the very beginning of the church. One of the challenges made against the early Christians was that they disrupted the stability of the home. That was an accusation made by outsiders against these early Christians, is that they disrupted the stability of the home because they pit husband against wife and wife against husband, and they elevated the status of servants and slaves and just disrupted the home. And so following Jesus has always had relative consequences. And Jesus knew culture. Would you reach down right there and get my Bible? I forgot to bring it. Thank you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. You can do that however you read your Bible. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. This is one of those sayings of Jesus that is hard to hear. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I think that Jesus is not making a statement here of his purpose as much as he is making an acknowledgement of him being here. I don't think Jesus is saying necessarily he came to bring a sword and to disturb all the peace. I think Jesus is acknowledging that when he comes, it disturbs the peace. And it does bring a sword, because Jesus is a polarizing figure. Jesus has been a polarizing figure since the moment he appeared in this world. In a cradle, he was a polarizing figure. And it's never, ever changed. Because Jesus, the claims that he makes about himself demand that we make a decision about him. Everyone in the world has to make a decision about Jesus Christ. And when we make a decision, it has relative consequences. And Jesus knew this firsthand. Over in Mark chapter 3, we find out that this is early in his ministry, but already Jesus is doing and saying things that have caused his family to be embarrassed by him, is what it says in Mark chapter 3. And they thought that he was crazy. Jesus has gone crazy. Listen to what he's saying. Look at what he's doing. And they were embarrassed by him. Over in John chapter 7, it says that his brothers did not believe him. They did not believe him when he made the claims about himself that he made. And the reason, and I'm so thankful that Ted did the thoughts that he did this morning, the reason, or one of the reasons that Jesus put his mother in the care of John, was because none of Jesus' brothers were at the cross. And so one cost of following Jesus, and Jesus knew it firsthand, is that following Jesus can create tension in your family. And some of you have experienced that. And I know personally that some of you are experiencing that. And it's hard. Even on a day when we celebrate mothers, it's hard. And so what do we do with Jesus? What do we do with Jesus when the Prince of Peace is promising to disturb the peace right where we most want peace, in our families? And so I just want to give you two thoughts this morning as we contemplate and meditate on Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10. And the first thing is to say that even though Jesus has said he did not come to bring peace. He came to disturb the peace. The first thing to remember is peace is very important to Jesus. Peace is incredibly important to Jesus. This passage is not advocating violence. That's not what Jesus is doing here. And I want to delve into that a little bit, but I want to ask, what kind of sword is Jesus talking about? I know Jesus did not come advocating that we take up a sword and with violence go forward in his kingdom, because Peter tried that. Do you remember? On the night that Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the soldiers came from the temple and they were led by Judas. Judas kissed Jesus and the soldiers came to arrest him. What did Peter do? Do you remember? Peter drew out a sword and he reached out and he swung it. And in doing so, he cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And immediately, what did Jesus say to Peter? Put that sword away. And he reached down and he picked up that ear and he put it back on that man's head intact and healed him. And so I know that Jesus is not advocating violence in your family and violence around other people to move forward in the kingdom. I think the sword that Jesus is talking about is himself as the Word of God, capital W, and what is said about the Word of God, small w, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And in that verse, the sword does something very specific. And I think it's what Jesus is saying is the sword, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, doesn't kill, it divides. It severs. It separates. It cuts to the very heart of things. That's what the Word of God does. And I think that's the sword that Jesus is talking about, because I know from everything else that he said, Jesus is about peace. Peace is very important to Jesus. We hear it in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, blessed are the who? Peacemakers. Thank you for whispering. And disciples do everything that we can. I love the way Paul says it in Romans chapter 12, as far as it depends on you, you bring peace. You be a peacemaker. You promote and you pursue peace. And the first place that we do that is in our homes. We pursue and promote peace as far as it is possible with us, as far as it depends on us. We pursue peace in our home. And very honestly, we all have experienced that often that is the hardest place to have peace. Somebody said amen. And I saw a couple of nudges. Man, that's the hardest place to have peace sometimes. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, I don't know what presence does to the heart, but sometimes it disturbs the peace. And we have got to even pursue peace when we are wounded. And the reality is that no one can wound us like family can wound us. Jesus says, be a peacemaker. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, and it is in the context of family issues, Paul reminds the church, God has called us to live in peace. So I know Jesus, its peace is very important to Jesus. And the cross reminds us that that peace is costly. But Jesus doesn't pursue peace at all cost. And so peace is very important to Jesus is the first big idea here. The second big idea here is that peace isn't more important than Jesus. Peace is very important to Jesus, but peace isn't more important than Jesus. And Jesus' sword will cut and it will sever and it will divide us from all the allegiances that might challenge his place in my life. That's what Jesus is going to do with that sword. He's going to sever and cut every other allegiance that might get between me and my allegiance to him. And that challenge cuts even in that most sacred of places, and that is the family. Because right after he says he brings a sword in Matthew chapter 34, He quotes from the Old Testament about what that sword will divide. For I have come to turn, and this is where he begins quoting, I've become to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he says, even a man's household is going to become enemies. There's even going to be enemies in the family. And then he goes on to say in verse 37, anyone who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See, Jesus is not going to accept anything but first place in our lives. And what is happening in this verse is Jesus is taking the things that are most precious to us. He's not calling us to choose him over the worst things. No, Jesus is calling us to choose him even over the very best things. And Jesus unashamedly says, I want you to love me more than you love your mama. We support missions. We support Christians and churches in places of the world today where to decide to follow Jesus severs you from your family. It will cost you your mother and your father, your son and your daughter. It will make people in your household your enemy. We support people who are preaching in those kinds of communities today. I have personally baptized people who knew when they came up out of that water, a new person in Christ, that when they went home, there was going to be trouble. We have people in this room this morning who right now, their loyalty to Jesus and his teachings has disturbed the peace in their family. And yet Jesus doesn't back away from that tension. Jesus just steps right into that tension. Always calls us to make a decision about him. And as hard as that is to preach, as foolish as that may be to preach on this day, as hard as it is to obey, I can stand here and say it with complete confidence that when we choose Jesus over our very best relationships, it will always be best for our relationships. Because here's the thing about Jesus and his kingdom. It just turns everything upside down. It doesn't work the way we think it's going to work. The best thing you can do for any relationship you have, even your relationship with your mother, the best thing you can do for your family is to put Jesus in first place, not them. Put Jesus in first place. Because here's what happens. When you put Jesus first, what you then learn to begin to do is to put yourself last, right? That's what we learn to do as followers of Jesus. We put him first, it means that we become last. It means that others come before us. So when you put Jesus even before your family, what it ends up doing is putting your family before you. And you begin to learn to love and to serve your family in a way that's so much better than when you didn't put Jesus first. When you love Jesus the most, you'll end up loving them more. That's why Jesus can make the claim and make this bold assertion that you need to choose him first, even above your family. Because see, Jesus does not end up undermining family. That's an accusation made then and now. Jesus does not end up undermining family. What's going on in our dominant culture is seriously undermining family, but Jesus does not. And when you put Jesus in his proper place, what it does is it reorders and it redefines all your other relationships. And it puts them in their proper place. And they begin to work the way the one who ordered them intended for them to begin to work. When we put Jesus first, our families come into alignment with God, who is the one who created family. And it works, and they accomplish the purposes that they were intended to accomplish. And here's the other reason I can boldly make this assertion today about Jesus, is because even if you lose some of your relationships because you put Jesus first, even if you lose some of your family because you put Jesus first, here is the promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when Jesus comes back and makes everything right and renews all things, when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on thrones, and everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So anything you give up for Jesus is going to be found in 100 times more. So I just want to end with 2 stories. One is present day and one took place in the 1860s. But following Jesus hasn't changed. The one in present day is about a couple named Jeremy and Christina. Jeremy and Christina were getting married. Jeremy was a fireman. And their wedding venue, something happened and they couldn't do the wedding at the venue. And so where did they decide to have the wedding? At the firehouse. And what do you think happened in the middle of the wedding? The bells went off. The alarm rang. Jeremy is not on duty. This is his wedding day. But all of his buddies are there, and immediately when the bells ring, the wedding ceremony is over, and they all begin to go into action and do what they have dedicated their lives to do. And Jeremy looked at Christina. And Christina looked at him. And she said, "You go do what you are supposed to do." Because she knew who he was. She knew what his mission and his purpose was. And that was to go and help and save. And that's noble. I have an appreciation for Christina and what she said to Jeremy. But even more do I have an appreciation in this next story. And I apologize. I went and looked and tried to find the names, because these are two very real people that I have read about. You've heard me talk about Hudson Taylor, my spiritual hero, and his mission to China in the 1800s. And he had gathered a number of young men and women that he was training in England to go over to China. And this couple, they were engaged, and they were going to go together. And so they were going to still be behind with a group who was still training. There was a group who was about to get on a boat. And just so you'll have the context, in that day, it took about 5 or 6 months on a boat to get to China. That's why we still say the phrase, a slow boat to China. And at the very last minute, just a matter of days before that group, that first group was supposed to go in that boat, one of them had to back out at the very last minute. But the place was already paid for, and they needed to fill the spot. And Hudson Taylor looked at this couple who was engaged and staying behind, and he looked at the man and he said, "I'm about to ask you to do something I have no right to ask you to do, but I need you to go. I need you to take that man's place and get on that boat." And that engaged couple looked at each other. And again, I wish I knew her name, because she deserves to have her name remembered. She looked at him and she said, "You go. Because I would not marry you if you did not choose Jesus before me." And he got on the boat. And a few months later, she was able to get on a boat. And the story ends happily, because she was able to get to China, and they were able to be married and had a long and successful ministry, taking the gospel to China. See, I'll never, ever get to preach to some of you again. Some of you are here for your mama, and I'm thankful that you have honored her today by being here. But since I'll never get to preach to you again, I want to unashamedly say on Mother's Day that as important as it is to love your mother, it is more important to love Jesus. So love your mama, but love Jesus more.